The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. The gang's here for Ladies' Night. It's 40K Thursdays.
Welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome, well, or am I? That's my little joke this week. Big shout out, first off, for anyone else, to my hydro homies. Yeah, you podcast bros. I hope you're well. Love you tons. Stay hydrated. And then hello to the Twitch chat, Darker Design. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks to all of you for being here. Bomb Squick. Rawlinson 7656, afternoon bud, MJ Pegasus, welcome to MJ Pegasus, by the way, our new moderator on the channel. I'd just like everyone to know that. Big shout out to Tristan, one of our long-serving moderators on the channel. I hope you're well, and also I hope your son's well. Seems he's a bit sick. Nick, what up? I hope you're well. He's at home with his cat who just killed a bird. Classic. James, sorry again, hope you're well. Pete Pratt, oh yes, hi Pete, hope you're well, buddy. Hello everyone. If you could all just say hi to each other in the chat, that's always nice. Scott B, Wargaming Dad, Draconda, Swaggy Shadow Sword, first time here, getting to watch it live. Hope you're well, bud. Thanks for joining in. Today, just a chill day. We're just going to have a... Oh, the camera's still doing that thing. Anyway, today we're just going to have a chill day. I'm just going to do some painting and talk to you guys. Because tomorrow, Dreadwoods, I hope you're well. Colonel Cabbage, yes. Primark, hope you're well. Well, hello, Alex. Hi. We got two great shows in the stream suite for the next 2 days, so I wanted to just chill out a little bit, because tomorrow I can officially announce that during the stream suite show is being replaced with the Tabletop Wargaming Apps of the Year Award. That's right, a bit like the Oscars, only it's a Wargaming App of the Year Award. Me and Nick will be hosting where the shows this year. It turns out we haven't done any offensive tweets, so we're allowed to host the show. I'm very, very excited. We're writing scripts. I'm not going to lie. Maybe you might even see a shirt and tie out of me. Primark, you are radiant. So that's going to be the show tomorrow, which is very exciting. And then on Friday, me and Owen's back, and we're going to be looking at the list not only from Simon's event over in Australia, we're also going to be looking at our top lists from the Christmas event this Saturday held on TTS. So two great shows, and of course we've got the Thursday night 40k show tomorrow night as well. So there's lots to come, which is just me saying I'm just going to paint and chat to you guys today. If you're cool with that, for an hour, we're going to hang out. I am painting my Plague Marines. I don't know if you guys have seen online. I've been trying really hard to post to do these guys. I've done 7 Blight Haulers now and 2... Oh, God, what are they called? Boom Cannons. They're not called. Hey, Datcom, what up, bud? Diadrin, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. What are they called? God damn it. Anyway, those things. The two big tanks for the Death Guard. Honestly, the Plagueburst Crawlers, thank you so much. PBCs, there you go. Yeah, Plague Poo Pushers. I painted them up as well. Really loved it. So that's all done. So now I'm into the meat and taters of the show. So I've got to do 40 Plague Marines, which is not easy. So I'm just going to hang out with you guys and paint while we do it. What are you guys up to? Are you well? What's going on? Datcom? Nice to see you, bud. I hope you're well. Fuck that. Henry Steele. Yes. Henry Steele apparently... can I just say a thank you to Henry Steele? Because I messaged him about helping me with... Because I've been using some Streaking Grime. And he showed me a couple of the videos that he has on the Court of Paint, which I watched. And then that's how I basically have done my my paint scheme, really. Like, well, I've used... Not my paint scheme, because he wouldn't choose the colours I've chosen. But I did the... I learned how to do the doodad. So really enjoyed that. So thank you to him for smashing that, and you can go watch that now, and if you want to link them in the chat, and I'll include them in the show notes as well. They're super sweet to watch. I really enjoyed that, and I'm now a reductive painter. Most of you might not have heard of it. It's basically where you take paint off, It's fine. It's us cool guy painters. I'm building my Valhallan Ice Warriors. Luke, that sounds badass. Organizing my New Year, New Army, more tribes, says T-Man Cash. Nice. What are you going for with your more tribes is the big question. Personally, waiting for the Winter FAQs to start my OTRK army. I think Age of Sigmar now, we're kind. This is where I'm at with Age of Sigmar, which is why for the, like my brain's been kind of like 40k focused for building and painting armies. Because I would like to start a new Age of Sigmar army in the new year or finish an army off, but I'm really waiting to see what happens with the points before I decide to go into an army. Probably going to go into Slaves to Darkness, but I want to see what happens with Warriors. I want to see if Marauders change points. And then I see what happens there, and then I'm going to start painting those up, so that's going to be fun. Morning, Ben Boyd. Hope you're well. Brawlinson, looking good. Big hill for you to climb, though, Rob. I managed to get my hands on the Zeke's Battle Box, and a friend bought me a Chaos Space Marine Battle Box for Christmas, so I can't get back into 40k. Brawlinson, yes, bud. Finishing build and prep the Havocs right now while I work from home. Yeah, bud. Well, congratulations. That's good. Duncan has a video how to paint Death Guard as Pallid Hand, which is the Honest Wargamer scheme. Is that true? Oh, okay. I've gone for this, I needed, like, so Death Guard have got, like, a plague weapon, like, all of their kind of melee weapons, and some of their guns are plague weapons. So I've gone for, Vallejo Black Green. Not sure I love it, but it's kind of cool, and I wanted something that kind of was a bit, like, darker green, as opposed to being, like, quite bubonic green. So I've done that, and then I'm highlighting it with Mook. Oh my god, I'm almost like, hey, I need to shut the fuck up. This is embarrassing. I did a bunch of Gene Sealer work last night. Pretty hard. GS work? Is that what that is? MJ Pix, I want to shout out Henry. His advice when he was on the show, not to waste time on old paint jobs and start again, has paid off. I have no pile of shame and a couple of hundred quid more in the bank. There you go. Yeah, Henry's the man. Really, he's kind of our like emotional paint god. Ghostwalker, painting 20 bases for some Necron Warriors seemed a good idea. He's a green stuff for a roller for the first texture. How did that work out, Ghostwalker? That's why I asked. John Thompson, hope you well, man. Just sat in the Aster's gown waiting for surgery on my back at 1:30. So this all Honest Wargamer fits right in. Oh, dude, I hope you're well. Good luck with the surgery. I did a bit of a look on Google and I found the previous Winter FAQs were both released around the 17th, so maybe we'll see something very soon. Draconda, I do think that we might have to wait effectively for the Winter FAQ as to, but we'll see what happens. Currently playing Army Anxiety with my Death Guard, says Dreadwoods. Yeah. I have full painted shelf and a bunch of plain marines, characters and Tomies to crack on with, but the shit weather is making it difficult to get the airbrush out and lack of credits is freezing me in place of it. I'm just going with it. Dreadwoods. I'm not following my own advice, which would be wait for the book, wait for the FAQ to see what's good. I'm just going to paint up a bunch of Marines. I think the guys with the Plague Cleavers are really cool, so fuck it. I'm just going to paint them. I'm going to paint a bunch of melee guys. I've painted up the Blight Haulers. I mean, the nice thing about the Death Guard book is it's not massive, but I was working out. I reckon a Marine is going to a Plague Marine, it's going to take me about an hour to paint. And I've got, like, maybe 40 to 50, because there's a whole bunch of weapon options, right? It's, like, 50 hours on painting to get an army on the tabletop, which is just fucking mental. Like, when you actually, like, picture that in your head, I was like, no wonder so many people don't have armies that they put on the tabletop. And also another reason why we should never criticize, like, a half-assed job that gets to the tabletop, because even a half-assed job is 25 hours on just the Marines, not the rest of it. Not the bases, not the characters. So we need to be a bit fucking nicer to each other when we, like, put our armies on the tabletop, basically. Because it's fucking nuts how long it takes. Fake news, but it's fun to talk. Can we have more Henry Steele on the show? Here's tips on point. I'll ask him. Absolutely, I'd love to. Where are the Winter FAQs? I need to read Cries again. Okay, not long, Nezil. Or very long. Those are the two options. It does the job, took some trial and error, but they look nice done. Use a mix of clay and PVA for the two up top of the show. Talking about using the... So if you guys aren't aware, if you listen to the podcast, I'm sure you guys watching live as well are aware, but Green Stuff World do like a roller, and it's a textured roller with... different kind of prints on, so you can order different ones. And then basically you put out some sort of material. It could be green stuff, it could be Milliput is another one I've seen. You roll it across and then it leaves the texture on it, so you end up with a textured base. Quite a nice way of doing it, ultimately, like, take some time. James. Big shout out to Crazy Horse in the chat. Actually, I'm glad he's here as the 3D print master. One of the things that I was about to say was James has been 3D printing bases, and me and James have been talking tons and tons about 3D printing recently, because we're printing all the 3D terrain for the studio, for the arena stuff, so for all of our matches and things. And so we've been talking about like what you can do, like what's the most effective thing. And printing bases sounds like a good plan. Like for I was wondering, like, is that time? I don't know. Like, James seems to think it's like a very effective way of doing it, overdoing the green stuff world thing. But you know, you guys will be able to say, "Hey, Gitly, hope you're well. Thanks for being here, by the way." I would always rather play a bad painted army than an unpainted any day. Yes. Do you think the winter FAQ could be held off as the lack of game data from 2020? Kelbar, I don't think they necessarily use game data from 2019 or 2018 either for the winter FAQ. Otherwise, we've seen some Daughters of Cain changes, and we've seen a bunch of other changes with the 2019 FAQ. However, I'm not trying to be unfair to them. I think that maybe they've just got a lot of other jobs on. I don't necessarily think the work that they do requires in-person working. You can work from home, but there are included stresses on that. You know, some people have got kids. There's a whole bunch of stuff for people working from home. So let's give the very overworked, in my opinion, and understaffed rules team a bit of a break, because I feel that they deserve it, and just let them have a bit longer on it. We can't really play loads of games anyway, apart from the Aussies, so I think that that's fine. Just give them a bit of time. I would really love to see Games Workshop hire like double their rules writing staff next year with the amount of money they're making. Like, that would be like my number one question. If I could hold Games Workshop to a single question, just one, next year, like in a press or anything, it would be, are you going to, or why, with your increase in profits in the last 5 to 6 years, have you not doubled and nay tripled your rules writing and like quality control team for the books? That would be like my fucking first question, and see what they say. Risen printers can pump out some nice bases pretty quick, so it's Crazy Horse. You got any sort of like stats on it, Anthony? Like the rough kind of time frame? I'd be really interested to know, like, because maybe you do know. You ever watch them YouTube mini painters, Rob? It's wild how deep into details, blends and stuff they go. Luke, the YouTube painters are just unreal. Like, absolutely unreal. Like, all of them. I think that's one of the... I've said this before, I'm a tactile learner, so like I learn better in person, which is why some things like Henry's Coat of Paint or when Vince travels around and teaches in person, I think those are really valuable for someone like me, because I'm just not like a very good like watch and learn. Like when I learned video editing, it took me like an entire summer, and I was like swiveling in my chair being super triggered. But yeah, the YouTubers are just like YouTubers are unbelievable, and you know, they deserve all the love that they get. It's like, have you seen Wargaming Pete, who we had him on the show? He's like 90,000 subscribers on YouTube, and he just like kitbashes like a brand new dude all the time and then paints him up. And it's fucking cool content if you love it. Like, I could totally see, like, building up my Plague Marines, I was like, yeah, I might give this guy a little extra hand or a little sword. Like, you know, like D&D in it a little bit, and getting like really into like each guy. It's like, this guy's got like a bee head, and he's got... It's fucking cool. If you're into that, I could 100% see how you could just wait, like, wonder what he's going to kitbash this week. It's fucking exciting. Not for me, but I could see it. Hey, Iron Gutsman, hope you're well. 20 days, bases take about a day between mixing material, getting down to bases, rolling it out, and wait for it to dry and be ready to paint, says Ghostwalker. So if you are using the rolling pin technique, that'll be... It says Ghostwalker takes about an entire day. I can do about... with Milliput and just making some like fucked up bases, I can probably make like, I don't know, a couple of hundred in 3 hours, like, depending on the size. AOSP, I managed to get 2 games in yesterday in the UK. I'm really happy for you, man. Really happy for you. Best thing about PMs, Plague Marines, so many options. I have like 30 and they're all completely neat. We'll check out the content out. It's good. Yeah, but I don't think he does any Plague Marine stuff yet, but that would be fun to do. I'd love to bring squats into 40k. I'd have to paint at least 3 trains, play them an epic, says Hiloth. Some squats would be cool. That'd be super fun. My question to all of you, actually, if you had Games Workshop in like a press situation, you know, and you could ask them any one question which you know that they would answer, I would love to know what question you'd ask them. I've told you what my number one question would be. Because I think, well, for me, because I'm so fascinated in the game, and I'm so interested in its health and its viability? That would be my first question. Like, why, with all the money you've had, have you not, like, doubled, nay, tripled your rules writing slash development team? I think if you let a printer run all day, you could crack out a couple of hundred detailed bases. Wow. So if you had a 3D printer, you could crack out a couple of hundred bases. Fuck, that's incredible. Okay. Right now, can I use my Terex drill again, please? Says Dreadwoods. That would be his question. Darker design. Why is Forge World such a goddamn train wreck? Great question. Nikos, where the fuck is my Death Guard Codex? I think we all know the answer to that. It's in China, is where it is. I don't know if the actual Death Guard Codex is in China, because I think everything's printed in the UK now, books-wise. I think what's actually happened is the models, or the additional models, for all the box set that's meant to go along with it, where some of those elements... So they tend to get a lot of, like, box art. So they'll print the boxes, that they'll all be printed flat. They bring them over to the UK, and then they turn them into boxes, and then they box up all the sprues and stuff that they do here. So that's what they're waiting on. So they'll be waiting on that to box up some sort of box stuff, basically, for the plane needs. I've picked up my first minis yesterday. I'm excited to join the community. Welcome, Gorkbit. I hope you're well. Why are Fanatics not grots? Pete. Every time I, like, rediscover myself in the Gits chat, Pete. So this is Gleams by Gits for Age of Sigmar. It's an interesting feeling with Gleams by Gits, because I want to feel sorry for how badly the book is designed in certain ways and all that other stuff. Like that traditional kind of feel. But at the same time, Gits players don't give a shit. Like, if you're like, hey guys, your stuff sucks, they're like, fuck you, it sucks. I'm gonna use it and it's great. But I would like to see the Gits book, like, massively looked at. Especially after talking about the spider thing the other day. Like, comparing the Flinger to the Crawler is wild. Comparing any of the monsters that they have. Comparing the cavalry. Oh my god. Compare spiders to Dawn Riders. To Kavalos Death Riders. To cavalry units. To whatever the new Sinesh cavalry units are probably going to be like. They just do not sit in the same category. Think about the amount of buffs you can put onto Saurus Knights. They're just not very good. Their point should reflect that. That's what they should. Would they keep the double turn with the amount of people who hate his concept, so Swaggy Shadow Sword? They absolutely should, and most likely will keep the double turn. It's not the priority role specifically. It's what makes the game the game. We all play it with that knowing it's still there, happy to play it, and anyone who hates it just really doesn't like the core concept of the game. It'd be like super weird. It'd be like, hey, I like you guys to play football, but without the ball and instead with hula hoops. It's like, what? It's a cool question. How many Primaris lieutenants before you're satisfied? Anyway, headline results for the Geelong one day were Seraphon 1, War Tribes 2, Gargants 3. That's nice, Iron Gutsman. Where was the Geelong one day? I think that's Australia, right? Seraphon 1, War Tribes 2, Gargants 3. Sorry that we missed that on Monday. That's sad. My camera's wrong. Marathi was printed in China, Marine Codex UK. Okay, Scott B, interesting. China. Wait, who am I reading? It's Deadwoods. Deadwoods, I'm so sorry. I'm reading your name wrong. Your name's in dark purple, so I can't really see it properly. What do you view as the actual shelf life of any Codex Battletome supplement? Scott Brent says. What do you view? Oh, talking to Games Workshop. One question I would ask is, how much is the delay made due to COVID? Okay. Why can't Primaris Marines go in the Land Raider, and why can't Firstborn go in a Repulsor? I would love to see them answer that question. Well, you see, the Firstborn is smaller. Yes. So they don't fit inside the Repulsor. Okay. All right. Dihydrate, thanks, bud. Thanks, bud. Played against Spiders yesterday, old rules table, my first army with my Skaven. what do you think about the new Mortec crawlers, the Spider Flingers? I'm not too bothered about the Spider Flingers, but then I never was bothered about them when they were first released, which was really, really sad. I actually really respect the fact, I'm going to give Games Workshop a compliment here, because I really respect the fact that when they did the Gloomspite Gits book, they looked at the spider kit and they were like, cool, we'll make four war scrolls out of this one war scroll. In fact, they made five because you could take the spider dude on foot. So again, excellent work there. Really appreciate that. I want that. I want them to look at models and think, actually, can we make this into a couple of different units? And then they managed to give them like a pretty unique identity. Not you, War Party. They did not give you a unique identity. They made you very weird. Like, why doesn't the War Party, like, do some sort of area buff? You know, why doesn't it give it, like, +1 to wound to all Spider Riders or, like, you know, something. Some reason to take it. I'd like to think that they're still learning as a company and as rules designers. I mean, yeah, anyway. I could unpack that box all day. I think Age of Sigmar and 40k, as we've seen, can become significantly better when the right rules are applied and with the right creativity. You really are hoping, and I'm really hoping, with the sheer volume of money that goes into the Warhammer products at this stage, that they really create some like super entertaining and super fun dynamics into these games as time goes on, as they learn to get better game publishers. I really hope their like arrogance of we're making lots of money doesn't stick, because the game's really exciting. It's super fun to play. And so the more that they can apply some of those rules, write some of those rules into the war scrolls, write some of those rules into the data sheets, we end up with a more fun game, which is very exciting for all of us. So really the only way is up. They need to just stop dropping the ball, which they do often. And I still do think that's because they just don't put enough resources into that team. They spend more money managing the message by hiring people into the advertising team than they do spend money into the rules team to make the whole thing better. And they should do that. Like, just spend that money there. Might start a campaign. Hire more rules writers. Like, that's going to be my campaign. Not a GoFundMe. I don't know how you do a campaign, but that's... Anyway. But Rob, if you can line everything up, each spider can do 4 mortal wounds on a 5+. And Gusman, like they're genuinely good, the spiders. Don't get me wrong. If you can get the combo off, like, I've always loved them. Always loved them. It's just a huge shame that they're not like, perfect, right? Like, not even perfect, just better. Has anyone got any suggestions about what you would add to the spiders? Because that's what... I was thinking a bit about this morning. I was like, I don't actually know what I'd add. Would I make them tankier, give them a 4-up save? Maybe. Would I make a -1 to hit because they've got nets? Maybe. I don't know. I like the idea of them doing a poison. Like, the mortal wounds means something. Like, maybe they lose an attack or they keep taking damage. You know, something to represent venom. But I don't know what I would do, basically. Hire more app devs. Yeah, you'd also hire more app devs. In game design, it's a very common thing where designers do not fully realize their own systems, what makes them work and what doesn't. The best game designers are the ones that recognize what works and doesn't. For example, Crypto Necromancers. Thanks, Draconda. Appreciate that. Add Mohawks, get star points. Agreed. Looking at Games Workshop's perspective, would hiring more rules writers lead to more sales? I'm guessing yes, but that's a guessing. You would end up with a better game, and a better game will almost always increase like productivity and sales. Increase sales. You'd be more simulated. As an example, the spider thing came out from White Dwarf, yeah? Because the rules aren't good in the ecosystem of the game, and every talking head, like, that is worth their salt will read it and say, these aren't worthwhile. Someone's like, oh, I'm so excited by a flinger! Yeah, and you're like, well, they're really, really bad for their points. And you're like, okay, maybe I won't get it. It's like, yeah, if you want to buy something, you maybe buy a Mortec Crawler or like a, you know, Hellstorm Rocket Battery, you know, if you wanted to take some sort of long-range firepower. And they'd be like, oh, that's sad. And then maybe they don't spend their money on that. They buy it on a PlayStation game or whatever it is. Like, they're just leaving money at the doorstep. Better games and better rules will produce better games. Actually, one of the things that makes me laugh quite a lot is you can always tell what's good in a Codex or in a Battletome if you go on the Games Workshop site at the minute, because they can't keep those things in stock. So like Sangon Regard, like, well, the Blood Angels would come out, and Sangon Regard are sold out. Yeah, like you, last year when Drukhari were really, really good, well, for 8th edition, like, racks were just sold out. So, like, I understand that the rules produce people like buying the things because they want to play with either the strong rules or maybe even just the good rules or the fun rules. Fuck it, let's call it the fun rules, shall we? Losing the tax is a good idea. Lots of games use poison slow mechanic of some sort. Yeah. Okay. Question. Friend only plays Disciples each, says Volta. Played them in the new book, but I lose almost every time against him. What armies against good against Disciples each? Well, they're genuinely quite fragile, Disciples of Siege, and they actually don't do like horde clearing particularly well unless they have a load of flamers. So Disciples of Siege can like be fairly fragile, and if you got anything that's quick and get in their grill, they generally don't tend to like that. But they're a mid-board army, so if you got anything that's like long range, so like cities with Hellblasters is kind of fun. Hollow Heart depends what you play. Fire Slayers are a good matchup into those guys as well. OCRs, not sure. Our Stonehorns aren't terrible into them, you know, because they can just punch through a ton of stuff super quick, and it's quite a lot of like overloading threat. Seraphon, obviously, are good into them, but they are Disciples of Zinch are in the upper echelons of the best armies in the game right now. They're in that S tier of like absolutely baller. So you are up against it ultimately. Ideneth, obviously, good, but I try to ignore saying Ideneth when I can. I tend to get really positive about the game when I see them use playtesters as some sort of rules mechanics. Then the book, like 40k tournament train system with cards, comes out, and I feel like it's too many crazy pills to take. Yeah. Hey, Moon Tyranid, hope you're well, bud. Hello, everyone, for joining us live, by the way. Thanks very much. I built 16 Neck Warriors today. Good work, Demon Honest. You and Will, you keep each other fucking motivated, baby. Gonna work out how much my work would pay me an hour to build. And Bill. All right, Rock Spider is sold out, Rob, so. Oh my god. Yeah, they really sold out. They've only got like one in stock. Think about it though. Like, they've sold probably four Arachnaroks in the past year. Yeah? So they've got like a running stock of like four in the warehouse. Do you know what I mean? They've not been like, need to make sure we keep the fucking Arachnaroks stocked up. Yeah? So, the new White Dwarf. Yeah, maybe they're not strong. Anyway. But they've been out of stock for months. Whew, thank God. Thank God. I thought my system was going to be ruined. MJ Pegasus says, not the sexiest of subjects, I admit, but I'd ask them if they have given any thought on how to make the same quality of product more sustainably. So you're talking about plastic and talking about carbon footprint. That's a great question. I know that one of the plans for Games Workshop before lockdown was they had a plan to recycle all sprues. So their plastic was going to be recyclable. So basically, if you cut out all your sprues, you could take it into a Games Workshop store, dump it in a bin, and then you're going to be able to send it back to Games Workshop HQ, which they then melt it down and reuse it for more sprues, which I think is huge. And I think that at least will help with some level of sustainability. So I think that's good. That'd be cool. Hey, Lofthammer, what's up, babe? Oh my god, there's so many questions I've missed and thoughts. Plymouth Rock says, what up? What up? Isn't basically everything sold out at the minute? Yeah. got 20 Spider Rides for 40 Aussie today. It's sold out in Games Workshop ATM. You go. You go, Old Mate Cobb. You're my old mate. You got this. Pre-game moves were amazing. Spider-Fun gets one. God, this is shit. It's not great. Returning sprues to Games Workshop will be golden. Yeah, I'm pretty certain that's their plan. Not forgetting Games Workshop themselves put some like solar panels on their building recently to try and help with their carbon footprint. Obviously also with their own bills as well. But I do think that they're looking to... The one good thing about Games Workshop that you will say is that they don't necessarily long-term plan smart, like in a smart way, but like they do think, okay, we're here forever. What are we going to do? You know, and that location in Nottingham, I very much doubt they're not moving from. You know, that's where they're located, that's where their HQ is, that's where all their CFOs are, exec are, that's where they're placed. Which is great for Nottingham, because Nottingham is not a rich city. So it's a really good industry for Nottingham. Pragmatic, is anyone any tips on Harkiron Misthaven builds? There's nothing much out there. So there is a, no, Pragmatic, but I could potentially look at building one for you. And I'll try and do that over the next couple of days. Do they reward you with a sprue deposit? Lou Diamond, it would be very cool if they did some sort of like in-store credit for returning sprues. In which case we could all be rich. They can afford to incentivize it. They won't, says Sheltong. I agree. They could definitely afford to incentivize that program. That would be amazing. We all return our old sprues. They could really afford to that. But they're not going to. But it would be good if they did. You'd go to a Games Workshop store to recycle. You'd go to a Games Workshop store to recycle your sprues and find a bin full of cycles in no time. Probably. Hey, Pragmate, you're the best. I'll try. Leaving my bits on the sprue for years at a time is finally paying off, says Lou Diamonds. I agree with that. Store credit at Games Workshop stores. I mean, would we mind taking in, like, surely everyone would be pro that. Take your sprues, cut them out, drop them in a bin, have a great time. I would be very rich if they did, says Loftaddle. I think everyone would, but also think about Games Workshop. If, let's just say, each sprue frame that you get from, like, building infantry or something, let's say that returns them plastic that they're going to sell for 30 quid. I don't know, enough plastic to make, a tenth of a sprue. Surely it's got to be worth, like, 10p in store credit. Or even if it's a penny. Even if it's a penny, you return 100, you end up with a quid. They're probably laughing at how much plastic that is, like, back. So, there's no way they are taking sprues back from Oz. The carbon footprint of shipping that back would nullify the saving. But Born Again Manchild, maybe it's an opportunity for them to collect and produce the raw material of plastic in Australia to open up some sort of factory. Or you never know. Like, if they were being smart, they could be really clever about it and, like, decentralize some level of production, right? And their way to get the plastic into that part of the world would be to regenerate it from stuff that's outstanding. If they were smart. Squinty Hugh, are you still building new tables? Do you want jungle death themed one? Yes, I am still building tables. Yes, I've got 8 tables to do, minimum. I am gonna do something about. I'm gonna do some fucking terrifying me there. One second, I'll get in the chat. I am doing some tables and I am, hold on, I'm just getting John Scrivens in the chat. He's joining me for a little bit of goodness. Hey, John.
Hello. That's John. I'm hearing you twice, which is just angelic.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, I was just saying, sorry, that I am still building terrain for the TSN arena. So I would love one. Drop me a message, Hugh. Let's do it. John, you look like crap Doctor Who. How are you this morning?
I have been travelling through time. I'm more importantly been out in the cold. So, yeah, I've left my I left the scarf on just because it's warm. It's nice.
Okay. Are you well?
I'm well. I am good, actually. Yeah. I've had a nice morning with the wife, which has been weird.
Okay. All right. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. We were just talking about doing
sprue recycling.
Sprue recycling and doing terrain for the... Well, to be honest, we were just chatting. Me in the chat, because I'm doing some painting and I'm having an off day. Just doing a chill day today.
It's good to have that, though, right? Because there's only so much you can talk about.
271. Yeah, well, I mean, there's not actually a lot of releases at the moment either, unless you're into Warcry.
Yeah, and Warcry is really good. I've been getting into it recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
Are you not in a tier where you can't see anyone else?
I haven't played it, but I've been painting it ready. Before the lockdown, I had started playing it, and I was like, cool, this is fun, I'll paint these for when I can finally do it.
Okay, all right, well, that's fair. Well, yeah, we were just talking about building terrain, so I'm going to tell some people some of my cheeky tricks for building some terrain. I am going to do YouTube videos on them as well, by the way, like...
away!
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. I'm really, really excited about it. Like, I'm going to be like, Rob builds terrain! Anyway, but it won't be like detail, it'll be like, this, snap. Anyway,
here is some terrain.
Pringles box, yeah. Right, anyway. What was it going to say? Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. My cheap trick that I've got planned. I have planned for my terrain. So, because it takes quite a while to, like, design the shape of the board, because we're not just picking out random terrain, because it has to be, like, WTC compliant, which means it has to predominantly fit on 9-inch by 5-inch bits of square wood. Effectively, like, you can round the edges off and other stuff, but effectively that has to be the volume that it takes up on the board if you're going to play 40k matchups. However, like we've James is printing out a bunch of stuff from printable scenery, which is we've got one that's like a temple, like Seraphon-esque looking, like ziggurats and kind of Mayan sort of like look stuff that I can kind of like half design as like Necron-y, but like still a bit jungle worldy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put those in the footprint. So we've been working that out, working out like what size to build it on a 3D print sort of thing, which has been really fun. And all of that took maybe an hour and a half between me and James to do that collaboratively, which is quite a long time before you've even done anything on just what to print. And so we're going to just double that. Yeah. So he's going to do a whole board of that, which I'm going to do jungle themed, and then a whole board of that, which I'm going to do in the fucking snow.
Then, why not?
Yeah, then we're doing like an orc board, same setup. Yeah. Orc board, like in a regular ladder. The other one, guess what? In the fucking snow. It's just so easy. Every time you just design a board and you think, what would this be like in the snow? Like, I think that works, right?
Yeah, it becomes a novelty, I suppose, isn't it? Like, it's December. We've got to only use the snowboards, guys.
No, we're gonna have like four snowboards.
Is there a good mix up of terrain types as well? I'm guessing. Because that's a consideration, right? It not just being line of sight blocking, but also whether it be dense or
so if
obscuring.
If you're building terrain for 40k, like especially if you're using the WTC map, basically, it's got a very specific volume and height restrictions, right? Mm. So which is normally there are four pieces on the board, which are 9 inches by 5 inches on the floor, yeah, right, and then they're either 9 inches or 5.1 inches high, and then there are forests, which are 9 inches by 5 inches on the floor, and then 4.5 inches high, right? Now, you can still, like, work. My plan is to build something that works not only for WTC terrain, so for 40K, but also works for Age of Sigmar and looks thematic in that setting as well, yeah? But also isn't just a ruin, yeah?
Yes.
So I'm trying to design the most the aesthetically pleasing boards while also simultaneously the most functional boards that I can design at the same time. So if someone's playing Age of Sigmar, we could just put a bunch of those around and that works really well, yeah? Because there's no real setup for Age of Sigmar at the minute, which is so interesting when you look at terrain, when you look at boards from around the world, no criticisms anywhere ever of anyone setting up Age of Sigmar terrain at the minute. Because really, it doesn't fucking really matter, but... No. But when you actually go look at it, it's really interesting because you just see one guy, he's like, yeah, I played Age of Sigmar today. He's just got like three bits of forest on the board. You're like, okay, it's like just sheet, like no terrain at all. And you look at another place and they've got like, if you see, you sell them in the shop, don't you? The Games Workshop temple stuff. And it's so huge.
It has such an impact. And that stuff can just work as a demon world for 40K as well. So.
So one of the questions is, Rob, will one of the terrain pieces be a Sarlacc pit monster? Nobody could be. Me and James are also, side project, working on doing a Cyberpunk 2077 board. I'm not the painter to do that job, but we're looking at like 3D print kits to like do a Cyberpunk 2077 board. Because I think that would be cool, at least, John. Do you not think?
What the important thing is, it needs some like lights on it and some poster screens built into it that can flash and flicker and stuff.
Yeah,
that'd look cool, right?
Yeah, I think it's possible. So we're gonna, but like, we're probably talking about stuff like, you know, the eyes are bigger than your stomach. This is my dream. Yeah. Are bigger than my ability. But I'm gonna try, and a whole bunch. I've got an idea for tar pits, quicksand terrain. Oh, nice hat. But not sure how usable they would be in 40K. What could they count as? Scrunty Hugh, I'll drop you a message, but we'll talk about it.
Tar pits could work as just craters because it slows your movement, doesn't it?
It does. Well, see, one of the interesting things about designing boards, not just for home and for a laugh, is they're meant to be tournament boards. And that is, a very specific setup as well. Like, and I know that sounds boring, but they do always have to fit into like a terrain map. And one of the things about Age of Sigmar, where the terrain is vastly different, does mean that I sometimes wonder, I would love to see pictures of terrain from events and be like, okay, how much? Because there is an obscuring rule in Age of Sigmar. Like, there is stuff that, like, blocks line of sight. For the TSN and for, like, the Super Series, like, we had very specific terrain dimensions that I set out. And some of that was like, you couldn't land on it. Basically, it was impassable or it blocked line of sight because it was just physically huge, which was super, super useful. And it's really interesting. Like, it's just really, really interesting, the maps and terrain for the game, because it's not really something that's ever been approached, which is what I think is so good about Warcry, right? Everything's got some sort of designation.
Yes, because a good example I found was when I've been to a lot of 40K events and they were very ITC-led, they would have, not all of their tables would be that whole ITC ruins sort of thing. So if you're playing on one of those tables, very standardized, you knew what you're going in for. But if they had a table that was almost like an afterthought table of like, here's what we've got left, the game was a very different game and probably actually suffered for it. So being able to standardize and kind of make sure that there's some consistency across tables at an event, I think is really important.
Super hard to do though. Like,
it's not
hard.
Easy. No, it's rewarding though, I think. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. I think you almost have to like be like, cool, we're gonna like have five like map types and we're just gonna replicate them. Because you can't do it infinitely because it just takes fucking hours to plan. What was one of the questions in the chat? Does the Cyberpunk board have plenty of nids hidden in it because it's full of bugs? Brilliant. And I got asked a question. I'm never sure about how to set up AOS terrain. So HCMR terrain is almost always 10, for a tournament, is 10 pieces of terrain. So 5 pieces each. Yeah. Sometimes there are like specific amounts, but like effectively 10 pieces of like appropriate terrain. And no one fucking knows what that is. No one likes, no one's designed that.
We need someone to hold our hand and say, right, this is what you need. Because without that, you're just guessing.
Babe, I'm just calling you babe now. Why wouldn't you want, why wouldn't you want like someone to hold your hand on that?
Exactly. That's what they've done in 40K and it works so well. Because
well,
you just
no,
go,
they
right,
haven't. They haven't
enough.
Done that in
40K. It's a step in the right direction, at least.
They haven't. They've given you what it all means and they've let someone else design a map.
I get carried away with that. I'm just like, yeah, this works. But I always over terrain boards now because I'm just like, I like it being complex.
Yeah. AOS terrain setup for me is always make a board that looks cool. I agree with that. But then, like, they also change based on where the objectives are as well. Like, because you can't have them within certain ranges. You have to allow for faction terrain to go down as well. So actually, Age of Sigmar terrain is actually, there's a lot going on there. But none of it really impacts your game. Other than
because in 40K, you do the objectives before you deploy terrain. So do you do that in Age of Sigmar currently? Or do you just shuffle the terrain when you're moving, kind of when you've got the terrain down?
It depends where you are. Like, I would argue now that at events for Age of Sigmar, the terrain should be placed. So for Super Series, what we did was we placed the terrain. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, when it was a new mission. So, like, different missions or different battle plans, sorry, we moved the terrain in certain locations. Like, and we thought about it beforehand. We're like, okay, I think that's a really nice map for this mission. You know, something that like, so you, basically what you want is if there are two objectives, yeah, like opposite each other, you want some piece of terrain in between them, whether or not to block line of sight, but specifically to make people have to move around. You don't want people to be able to just go straight line into the next objective. Because
that's the worst.
That's the worst, yeah. Yeah, in AOS, you have to think, does this board make it possible to place Wildwoods and thus invalidate an allegiance ability? You don't have to think that angle because no one plays the Seraphon, so you're safe, which is nice. But terrain rules are incomplete, to put it mildly, as anyone who's ever tried to play a Siege game will know. Proposition Joe, I agree with you, absolutely. When my friends and I play AOS, since there are so few terrain rules, we consider line sight blocking terrain to be the most important thing in our game, so we have plenty of houses, towers, and large hills at our house. Agreed. There is also the overgrown rule in Age of Sigmar, which you can just use to block line of sight. So they do have the rule. You can just be like, these two kind of block line of sight, which is nice. Unless you've got the flight keyword. Which, just pointing out, John, some of the really strong shooting units all have the flight keyword. Or, like, which is
Sentinels, which don't need to worry about line of sight.
Don't even need it, baby. Does anyone know if the Custodian's Contempt of Gladysis is hot garbage or not? Rob, is that the one you owned? I do own it, and it's not hot garbage. It got better in the Forge World book. Compendium. That's the one it is. It depends on the size of the event. If you have 100 tables, it's not as feasible as 12 tables to move terrain to match scenarios. Agreed, John. Agreed, Colonel Cambridge. But you could just have a terrain map that you pre-print that you could just leave on the table so the players could do it themselves. Not that
and hard. I think that's how it should be, really. Because otherwise, if you're not able to check that things haven't been tampered with in the previous game for their game, you could end up having a really weird game where terrain's all been pushed to one side or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, Tom's out there to go pick himself up a dreadnought. Is anyone getting themselves anything for Christmas? John, you getting yourself any Christmas treats?
Well, my wonderful wife has bought me an airbrush for Christmas, which I've already got.
Oh, nice.
So she's fantastic.
I'm terrified of her.
Yeah, it's going to stop me blowing hot air. Well done, Rob. Very, very clever. I discovered that I need to actually buy some pipe dope. So I was talking to Dayton, and he said, don't forget to get some pipe dope. And I was like, what? Apparently, it's basically like putting Vaseline on the joins of the cables and stuff so that you get a good bind, kind of so that the where they're threaded, like the actual cable that joins the airbrush to the compressor.
What?
Yeah, you're supposed to lube that up so that you get a good seal. But apparently it's something called pipe dope.
Okay.
I googled that and I was terrified. I was like, is this a euphemism? Because Dayton is that guy.
Wrath of Sigmar, I have bought... what did you get as a airbrush?
It's a Badger Patriot 105. It's what Dayton actually said. He said it's a good entry-level one, and for the basic stuff I want to do, it'll do.
Who said that?
Dayton, because asking his advice, because a lot of my local guys that do airbrushing are commission painters or people that are a bit crazy, and they've just got the best of the best. It's like, cool, I don't need that. I don't need a £500 airbrush that I'm just going to undercoat with.
It's a bit too good, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I just got to start off, not with the basic level, like entry-level thing, but start off with something that will at least kind of last for a while. I won't kind of skill, like, if I get any better at using it, it won't be just a waste.
Does anyone feel bad? Because Gitley's brought up a great point. My missus asks me the same thing every year. What do you want for Christmas? But no Warhammer. As luck would have it, I'm reliably informed that Santa Claus has been covered. You know when someone's like, what do you want for Christmas? You're like, the fucking answer's obvious. Yeah?
Yeah.
I want Warhammer. Like, it's that easy. Birthday, just get me some Warhammer. But do you ever feel guilty about asking for it, John? Like,
incredibly, it's like it's very specific things often, and like every year my sister, because she grew up in a household where my dad was a wargamer, I was a wargamer, the minute you say to her, I just want some Warhammer, she goes, I'm buying you something but not that, and she just buy me beer, and she knows I can't really drink lots of beer. She'd rather that I would have beer and make myself unwell than buy me Warhammer.
It's just, what the hell? Yeah, it's not okay. Because that's all I ever want for Christmas. Just get me some Warhammer. But then again, you don't just want any Warhammer, so I can understand that, how that's hard for someone.
And often if it's a budget thing as well, people buy something. It's like, oh, that's nice. It's like, it's very kind of careful that you don't ask for something that's ridiculously expensive. But at the same time, do you really need another box of grots?
It is pretty fucking pricey, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like a 30 to 40 quid gift is like a significant gift off someone. I mean, it is to me and people I know generally. Yeah. So it is a lot. So I understand that. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Christmas is just a time for good time and cheer.
Exactly.
I'm really, really looking forward to doing the Christmas stream, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
As time goes on, it's getting longer and longer in my head. I was like, oh, I'll do it for like 3 or 4 hours. And now I'm like, maybe the entire day. I might turn up in my gym jams. I think I'm going to turn up in my gym jams. It's going to be like super low key. I'm going to be like, fucking, I'm going to have some food out. People are going to be calling in. It's going to be so chill. That's my plan. Yeah.
Exactly. Jam sandwiches, an open fire.
What, roaring fire on the backdrop? Absolutely.
I was just imagining more, you're just next to one of those, like, fuel container things, like an oil drum with just rubbish burning in it, because that's Nottingham, right?
That is very Nottingham-esque. But the good thing about the burning oil drums in Nottingham is they really block line of sight for the bow crime.
I knew you were going to go straight to the bow crime.
There's a solution, says Primark, who is radiant. Buy her shit she doesn't want. Fight fire with fire, John. Buy her something. Buy her a shovel. Yeah, get her a power tool.
Well, she does have to contend with a 1-year-old little one, so she's got her hands full. I don't really want to add to that shitstorm for her.
Well, Colonel Cabbage has come up with a great question. If you want to ask for Warhammer, ask for a gift voucher for a board game shop that just happens to sell Warhammer.
My trick was Amazon vouchers.
Huh?
That was my trick, was Amazon vouchers. It's just like, there you go. They can work for anything. That'll do.
My brother always wants Warhammer, but his pile of shame could be eBay to buy a home in Chelsea. Fuck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That is only a medium-sized pile of shame. Congratulations. Jesus Christ, I wish I could get away with a £30 gift for my girlfriend. Henry, Hearthstoned, I'm getting my first wet palette. Congratulations, they're really good. I've got one, like a grown-up. They're so useful. They're so useful.
Mine just sits there.
Yeah, I've only just started, and the general consensus is that it will change my life. It's changed my life. If you guys want a Christmas present, I can't advise a wet palette more. It's really good. And also, all paints from dropper bottles and not the Games Workshop paints.
And agitator balls for them as well.
None of that. I've not used that. That's way too far. What's an agitator ball?
So, basically, imagine like a little metal BB. Put that in, like, put a couple of them in the pot. Shake your pot. It requires a lot less shaking.
Okay.
Gives it a good old mix.
You
That's changed the game. Yeah, shake my paints, because otherwise they split over time.
Do they?
Yeah. Especially metallics. They often end up having like the medium, then all the metallic-y stuff, and then some other stuff. It's all a little bit oof.
Okay, all right.
So well, that's I mean, what I'm getting you for Christmas.
I've never had a problem with the either the army paint or the Vallejo stuff. In fact, actually, the army paint stuff does separate out quite a bit, actually, now thinking about it. But the Vallejo
stuff's
like...
It's got the pre medium in it as well. I remember Adam saying about that.
Oh, yeah, to make it a bit wetter.
Yes.
Yeah. I tend to agitate my balls by sticking them in a microwave. Jesus Christ. Lads, this is why we don't have any girl viewers. Have you ever thought about that? Someone the other day was like, I can't remember who it was, I think it was Zide Guy. He was like, and this is why we don't have girl viewers. And I'm like, why can girl viewers find this shit funny? Like, but...
I think they do. The thing is, you're assuming wrongly that the chat is 100% all male.
Okay.
But yeah. Not all those names suggest male.
Yeah, doesn't that's matter right. Meister, they're people. I use Games Workshop paint pots, agitator balls, and wet palettes, agitator balls, cute paint growing up. I've never used those before. I have both the cheap Mattison and Army Paint wet palettes. As much as I love all things Army Paint, I actually like my Mattison wet palette more. I've only got the Army Paint one, and it's fine for me. I mean, it's a huge step up from using bottles of Coke as thinner and just some paint I found lying around to paint with, so... I've really upgraded it. I've glowed up this year, John. It's been a glow
up. I really
do
miss your paint having the bubbles from the Coke in it. That finish is just, it's not the same, Rob. Although, compliments on your grime.
Can I read that Scott Brent story? Not getting Warhammer anymore as a gift. It was entirely my own fault. My other half bought me a four-drawer Dreadnought one year. Lovely. Which then promptly sat on the shelf, half a built for a year before I got around to finishing it. Whilst I can tell this looks like I don't like the gift, but what she doesn't know is that leaving hopes, dreams, and plastic on the shelf is the hobby. Scott Brent is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I think it was 3 years ago I got bought a Lariel for Christmas. She's built. I just haven't painted it yet because
She's quite an intimidating model.
It's intimidating. And also, I know I'll never get to play it because it'll just be like, I'll put her on the table and that's the game over.
Well, no, come on, sometime soon. See, listen. The Warhammer stock market, as we all know, and we're all really tempted to start a different Twitter, which is like the Warhammer stock market or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Sell cheap.
Lariel right now is Beast of Chaos, Nighthorn. You should be able to pick those up for a song. Yeah,
I have all of that.
Cheap. You should be able to pick that up cheap as hell. Yeah. So if you've got that stuff painted up, John, ready, you'll be able to sell high sometime soon. Because don't forget, what's happening is Games Workshop are going to keep all the stock levels for those things super low as well, because no one's buying them because they're shit in the game. Yeah? Not shit, but not as good. Like, please, if you're out there like...
Underwhelming.
Yeah, whatever. Like, the point is, get them shit ready now. Pro-painted, get them when the market rises on Nighthorn, John. Yeah? We are... Oh, I'm so close to always starting a Warhammer stock show. Yeah. So close.
So I'm painting flesh hounds next because I know that no one uses them particularly. I just thought, why not? I've got them.
Yeah, that works.
They might eventually be good.
Waiting for those Beast of Chaos stocks to go up. You've got it. Buy low. Invest in boys. No, don't invest in boys. I think boys are getting redone. So I feel like boys have got like, boys are going to go off a cliff.
It's because I painted 90 boys that I'd owned some of for 18 years. So that was setting the tone that they were going to have to replace them now. It's like when I finally kitbashed three buggies and then they released an entire range of buggies. I was like, cool, Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, you fucked yourself up. Like, someone asked me about advice about buying a new Age of Sigmar army yesterday. I don't want to out him, but big love to you. And I was like, you 100% want to buy into the new model range stuff. You know,
yes.
Like, so like anything, yeah, anything that they've released recently is what you want to buy into, like from the last year. And I mean, there's some good options, hugely. I painted in my Flesh Hands and Salamanders in my Seraphon army. That's nice. Big love.
That's a good shout, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm doing Khorne Berserkers as well. So that's going to guarantee they're getting a new sculpt sometime. Because I kitbashed using two.
That.
I got two kits and went, right, these two kits will make one unit. That'll work.
I have a decent sized Nighthaunt army that I always lose with, says Volson Riot. But I also need to buy another Soul Wars half for the cheap before we get the new book. Exactly. There must be, between the Conquest magazines, all of the Soul Wars boxes that no one's ever built, you must be able to pick up a Nighthaunt army for like, I don't know, 42 quid and a jar of jam. Not that jar of jam's
people,
not an
incus. People can't give them away, mate.
You give away to me.
Not just Soul Wars, because the Mortal Realms magazine,
all of your
everyone
ghosts.
Went, I'm going to buy 600 packets of chain rasps, and then they all tried to resell them and then realised no one cared.
No one fucking cared. What should I get to put next to Archeon in my shelf?
Alariel.
I need two of them so I can have one on each side. Ooh, that's a good question. I would argue two Keepers of Secrets if you wanted to go big boy.
Not Bloodthirsters.
I need next to my Acheron. He's talking about
Night Acheron. Oh god.
Two Helverins. But yeah, Helverins.
The four-drawn Helverins with the little meltery gun things.
Yeah, those. Done.
What are they called? I can't remember what they're called.
No, just get two Leviathans, man. That Leviathan list from the other day was just gangster. Yeah? Leviathans are cool as fuck. Two Leviathans. Yeah. Get Leviathans. I would build that Dreadnought list we did coverage of the other day in a heartbeat. Three Dreadnoughts, three Redemptors, three Leviathans, some Swally Boys. Why do you not like that, John? That's so cool.
I'm just flashbacks of Iron Hands being really boring.
Why?
Because it was boring when they were even worse. I'm sure they'll be fine to play against now. That list looked really fun to play against, actually, but it was just, I still get that whole kind of, oh, looks like we're going to have a fun game now.
Oh, man, I really like him. I really like him. Like, they're Dreadnoughts, man. Like, you can come up with a whole story for what's inside him. It's like, this dude, he died at the Battle of, like, Mogadishu or something. I think that might be a real place, so apologies.
It is. Like, it's in Somalia. I loved seeing the Redemptors, actually. So
really
just before
sorry.
We got locked down, I did actually get to play with the Plasma Redemptor, and I really enjoyed that. I think they've got some play.
They look awful. Let's be honest, the Redemptors look awful. Right?
And not if they're painted white, mate.
Do they?
They look great, painted white, covered in stuff added to them to make them look more gormless. I'll send you some photos.
I'm curious, what would be the tiers for the most boring armies, and what would you do to make them interesting? I guess, like, do you mean gameplay-wise or, like, model-wise? I don't think the Iron Hands thing is boring, John. I just think, like, it's boring if you just, like, fucking, like, smash a paint job on it and it's just, like, done.
I think in context, that's why I find it boring, is that it was the try-hard tournament list and it was all just generic Marines that were definitely not Iron Hands.
But you could kitbash the fuck out of six Dreadnoughts, right? Because you're only doing six Dreadnoughts. So you could just have a great time, add loads of like Oaths of the Moment, some seals. You could even try, I see Evan Meister in the chat has an issue with my statement. You could even try and make a Redemptor look good, yeah?
Put stuff on it. Use a good Dark Angels upgrade sprue, you're sorted.
If you posed it, so it's a bit cooler.
I've got one running, he looks so cool. He's just like, I'm coming for you with my plasma and it's not going to blow up in my face anymore.
There you go. Yeah, you could make some pretty cool dudes. Like, you could maybe, like, try and... because that list we saw the other day, it just had three times, or it had four times, Inceptors. Not Inceptors. The Infiltrator ones. Infiltrators. No, not them. Damn it.
Incursors.
Thank you. Incursors. Literally, the names are so awful. Incursors. But, like, because they're Iron Hands, you could just add loads of, like, fucking Mechanicum bits to it. It gets a really low model count army, so you could just go nuts with it.
Yeah.
So that would be my suggestion. If you're having, like, a super... like mono army, just make it look cooler.
And relic contemptors, if you really want to go for some crazy old stuff as well, you could put in a relic contemptor because they've got such variation in their loadouts, like double chain fist.
Yeah. Oh, Gimme says Stormcast Eternals are boring. I would remove their helmets completely and make their heads originate from other army raids. So what I did with all my Stormcasts is I added loads and loads of Sylvaneth bits. So you, like, if you've ever collected a dryad, it's basically just like loads of sticky out bits. So you just like grab them and stick them out of all the joints in the armor. Like, they look a bit nurgly, but like you could just have a super fun time with that. You could add loads of like Seraphon stuff to a kit, which would look super cool. Carrion Overlord bits. I don't think you could really add those to a Stormcast kit. They don't really fit.
Elf heads.
Dwarf yeah, heads. I guess you could do that. I mean, you could put Saurus heads on them all.
Yeah.
That looks awesome. Yeah.
Space Marine helmets. Custody helmets. You could really go like to town with it.
Yeah, but we're
really
trying to
stupid.
Make them less boring, John. More interesting. Is the point. Humans?
Yeah.
Human heads? Yeah, yeah. Carina heads probably look cool on Stormcast. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Forge or do a Stormcast head upgrade. But yeah, I mean, you could also just 3D print a bunch of like cool heads, right?
Your own head. Just your own head.
Your own head 100 times on different Stormcasts.
That guy's a winner. That guy's also a winner. And then you can be like, oh, you just killed me. Oh, you just killed me again. Oh, you're killing me bit by bit, mate. Every time I'm reforged, there's a little less of me here.
Yeah, that would be super fun. I'd really enjoy that. Battle Sister Bear heads. I think they might be a bit small, but that could be cool. Orc heads, also hilarious. But you could just have a really great time with them, basically.
Or if you're going to go thematic and they only hang out in the realm of death, you have them with skeleton heads or zombie heads.
Yeah, you could do that. That would be really fun. Nicolas Cage heads. Nice.
Oh, my God. You could use different films where he's just like different stupid expressions. That'd be amazing.
I would what about, you know, what's the film where the Expendables? You just do like an Expendable kit, like Dolph Lundgren. Yeah.
that'd be Catachans though. That'd be basically Schaefer's Last Chances all over again.
Yeah, but you just do that with Stormcast. That would look so rad.
Oh, that's, I think Gimme H has got the best one. All John Malkovich. It is perfect.
That would be good. Goreheads, goat cast. That works. That could be fun.
Grot cast. Just do lots of grot hoods.
Oh my god, loads of little gits. And oh, imagine that. And then you cover them in mushrooms. All over the armor.
Yeah, just growing on the shoulders.
Yeah,
and
just
stuff.
Growing on the armor and make them like alive. Yeah, take you forever, like 18 weeks. I saw someone the other day who were like, who was like, just about to paint all the mushrooms on a dank old trog boss. I see you all in 14 weeks. I was like, Jesus Christ. Have you
That's
not seen
what
them?
Put me off them. It just put me off that model. I love it, but at the same time, I just go, would I ever be done with it?
it would take forever. I'm just trying to reset my focus. There you go, everyone. I've sorted it.
Stop focusing.
Well, unless anyone's got any questions, it's time to head out today because I have to do show notes and prep. I don't know if you've heard, John, but tomorrow's show on the Stream Street is being replaced with the Wargaming App of the Year Awards 2020.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know about this.
The Wargaming App of the Year Awards 2020. Obviously, we wanted to hold it in person, invite people as we normally do. Ricky Gervais was meant to host it, but unfortunately, because of COVID, that's not been able to happen. So we're just hosting it online. There's some hot contenders for the app of the year, of course. I don't know what you guys think, but it's going to be very fun. Oh, Anna Volton, thanks for subscribing. First time in the house. And thanks to everyone who subscribed today. Fucking gangsters. Bring it in. The excitement builds. Who will win the Robley Trophy? It's going to be serious. There are show notes. It's hosted
Citadel
by me.
Citadel Colour. I believe it's going to be Citadel Colour this year.
Ooh, Citadel Colour. It's hosted by me and Fit Nick. So please do tune in for that. It's going to be a big deal. Shame as it wasn't updated this year. Not eligible.
Is it web apps as well, Rob? Or is it physical phone apps?
Oh, it's... What do you mean?
So, like, War Scroll Builder's a web app rather than it being an app?
Yeah, yeah, it's not an app. Yeah, it's... I haven't spoken to the board yet. I'm just a presenter, obviously. I'll just be presenting the awards. I'll pretty much do what they say. There's a public voted category.
First for everything, I suppose.
But we've only asked 8 people. So, the public vote section. Maybe next year. It's our first one. Next year, maybe we'll make it a bigger deal. There'll be an actual prize. It's very much exciting. I hope you guys tune in.
I think the prize is the satisfaction that their app is actually being used.
That would make them happy. Listen, everyone. It's been a pleasure. John, thanks for joining in for a bit.
It's all right.
I appreciate
that.
Got
nothing better to do.
Well, that's good.
he says as he's desperately trying to do all his Christmas shopping.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, nice. I'm glad you lost the scarf, though.
Why?
And then...
Do you like to see my neck? Is that what it is?
It's just a shit scarf, that's why.
Oh. It's actually a fancy brand. It's a cheap Monday one, but it wasn't cheap.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, lovely. I'm glad you liked it. All right. So thanks to everyone who's tuned in live. Gitly, I see you. Scott B, Scott Brent, Primark. Glorious. I hope you're well. I'm a good Dean and Mononis. And Orc Mericon, I'm so sorry, Orc Mericon, that you didn't get the job as Games Workshop app developer. Diadrin, love you. Hearthstoned, loads of love to you. Fuck all you buddies. Thank you to everyone who's just, I just want to say there's quite a few people have popped up on Patreon this month, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, especially over like the winter period. It's always a bit scary, so it's just massively appreciated that you guys have joined us on Patreon. So thank you so much. And to anyone who's subscribed or been a part of the Honest Wargame Patreon for a long time, I can't tell you how much I appreciate being able to keep me going. So you guys are brilliant. Loads and loads and loads and loads of love. Podcast guys, stay hydrated. Look after yourselves. John, any shout outs before we go today?
I'd like to shout out to Gozzy.
Oh, God. And then thank you so much to everyone who has joined us live. Joining us live is my favorite part. I love to see you guys in the chat. You guys are brilliant. So fuck you, buddies. Do join us again tomorrow. It's going to be really fun. Have a great day.